everything. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Oh, everything. Give Him thanks. Times, praise His name, and if the bad times do the same, oh, in everything, give the King of Kings all the thanks. Oh, we sing in everything. Give Him thanks. Give Him thanks. Oh, in everything, give Him thanks. Thanks, oh, in the good times, we'll praise His name. And in the bad times, we'll do the same. Oh, in everything, give the King of Kings all the thanks.
One more time, with all your heart tonight.
Oh, say in everything, give Him thanks. Oh, give Him thanks. Well, it's in everything. Oh, give Him thanks. Thanks, oh, in the good times, praise His name. And in the bad times, oh, do the same. It's in everything. We give the King of Kings in everything. In everything, give the King of Kings. Give the King of Kings in everything. In everything, just give the King of Kings all the thanks.
Oh, somebody praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. We give You thanks tonight, oh God. We bless You in the midst of our trials and tribulations, distresses. We give You praise. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to His name. Amen. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Now and for always, He is worthy to be praised. Let's just read a scripture tonight. Psalms 34. Thank You, Jesus. Psalms 34. And we'll start at verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Amen. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Amen. Father, we bless you. David said, your praise would continually be in our mouth. Lord, that means we won't magnify our problems. We won't magnify our trials, but we magnify the God that is able to bring us through every trial. And God, tonight, as we just worship you and we bless you and we praise you, may your spirit just come to dwell with us. Oh God, meet us here in the only way that you can. Pray that you bless every heart that would be gathered here tonight. Those that are unable to make it, we ask that you look upon them as well. And God, we just give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, for you alone are worthy to receive it. And we just pray you take complete control of this service tonight. Oh God, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen and amen. Let's sing this song. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Amen. Bless his holy name. Let's sing with all of our hearts. I will bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh my soul, and all that is within me, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy. Hallelujah. Holy. Holy name. Come on, sing with all your heart. I will bless the Lord. Oh, I will bless with all my soul and all that is within me. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his holy. Bless his holy name. Come on one more time with all your heart. I will bless the Lord. Say, I will bless. I'm going to bless you, Lord Jesus, with all my soul. And all that is within me, oh, bless his whole, bless his holy, holy name. For he has done great things, yes. Oh, for he has done great things for me. Yes, he has. Oh, he has done great things for me. Yes, he has. He has done great things. Bless his holy. Bless his holy name. Come on, say it again. He has done great things for me.
Oh, I know that He has done great, great things for me. Oh, yes, He has done great things for me. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Oh, bless His holy, bless His holy name.
Come on, I will bless the Lord with all my soul.
Oh, say, I will bless the Lord with all my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Come on and bless Him tonight. He's done great things. He is worthy to be praised. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. No God like our God. Hallelujah. We worship You, Jesus. We bless You, O God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Everybody bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord. Hallelujah! Ha! Say hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hey, come on and clap your hands with me. Everybody clap your hands. Come on and clap your hands with me. Hey, clap your hands. Say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Everybody praise the Lord. Come on and praise. Everybody praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say hallelujah. Glory to God.
Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless. Everybody bless. Bless the Lord with me. Come on and clap your hands. Come on and clap your hands with me. Come on and clap. Clap your hands with me, say. Clap your hands. Come on in. Say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Come on.
Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Now put those hands together. Let the musicians play it. Come on.
One more time. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, we say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, somebody praise him tonight. Bless the Lord with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's exalt his name together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just tell somebody he's worthy to be praised. Amen. He's worthy. Worthy, 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 worthy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. Amen. We want to also just, I got a couple announcements, so just want to make here real quick. I want to ask that the church remember Sister Jennifer's mother in prayer. The enemy's been attacking her body, and she went through a pretty bad illness just a little time ago. We went to the hospital, we prayed for her. And God raised her up out of that sick bed and allowed her to be able to function again and speak and all these things that the doctors kind of said that she would have trouble doing. And now the devil has attacked her body again and has taken her ability to be able to lift her arms and also her ability to be able to talk. And she just needs God just to intervene. And before these things happened, she had Jennifer to call me and she said, I just want prayer. Amen, from the pastor, and we prayed over her. But I want to just encourage the church, if you all would, just remember Sister Jennifer's mother in prayer, that God would just continue to touch her body, and, amen, and make her whole. We believe God. Amen, we believe God. And there's nothing too hard for him, no situation too difficult. We just believe, amen. And I tell you, I certainly admire Sister Jennifer. Today I was, as I was coming home from work, I saw her leaving the hospital, and she was standing out there waiting on the bus to so she could come to church. And I thought that was just really something, you know. And I know to catch a bus, you have to plan. You just don't jump up and say, let me get on the bus. But you have to plan. You got to get there early, and amen, in order to catch that bus. And her whole day mapped out trying to take care of her own personal needs, but then also getting there to see her mom and then leaving there in time to be able to get to church on time. And Sister Jennifer, God sees all of that. Amen. He is going to reward you for your faithfulness. So, amen. Just keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Amen. I have this announcement here. We'll, I guess, put it up on the board.
Brother and Sister Wesco, it says, please join us for the 50th Golden Wedding Anniversary Celebration for Daryl and Joyce Wesco. It's going to be Saturday, the 16th day of November, 2013 at 4 o'clock in the evening. And it's going to be actually held at the church at Rapture and Faith Tabernacle. They're going to be renewing their vows there. 50 years is a blessing. Amen. And, you know, so we want to, they invited the church and everyone to come and, amen, just participate in this event with them. So that'll be Saturday, the 16th of November at 4 o'clock in the evening. And it'll be at the Rapture and Faith Tabernacle. And I know that everybody, I believe, is invited to the renewal of the vows, but they do have limited space, I should say, on the reception that will follow. And those that did get invitations to the reception, we will have to make sure that we is that right? Is that how this works? Okay, so the church is invited to the reception. However, I see a restriction on ages 15, and it's got to be 15 and up. So if you desire to go to the reception, the cost is $35 a person, 15 and up, and they need a non-refundable deposit of $20 by October 1st. If you desire to go to the reception, the total cost is $35. But they need a non-refundable deposit by October 1st, and the balance, the other $15, will be due by October 31st, by the end of the month. So if you plan on going, please, we have to make sure we send one big check from the church. So if you plan on going, let's make sure we got a list here that they've given us to fill out, and we'll fill that out. Just make sure you see Sister Erica. But your $20 has to be brought in so that we can deliver it to them. So keep that in mind, amen. And that'll happen in the month of November. Certainly something worthy of celebrating, amen. 50 years of marriage. You don't actually hear that too much anymore. So, you know, to find people that's able to make it 50 years, amen, we ought to celebrate them. We ought to celebrate them. So keep that in mind. Next Friday, don't forget, we'll have a youth service. Amen. Brother Caleb Duran will be here. And I understand he's bringing a couple brothers with him from Tucson, about three other brothers that wanted to come and join him on the trip. So we're looking forward to having a wonderful time. He'll be here Friday night, but we'll get him Thursday, and we'll be going out to Okeechobee on Thursday night. He'll be preaching there, preach for us on Friday night, and then nothing will happen on Saturday, but Sunday he'll preach for us again, and then also Sunday evening he'll be preaching for Brother Gene in Boynton. So there'll be a number of services there on next weekend, and as many as you can make, amen, I'm sure you'll be blessed by that. Let's just have Brother Mike, if you don't mind coming at this time, we'll say tonight's, take tonight's tithes and offering, and go forward in the service. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we're able to give. We ask that you would just use this for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Meet every need of every person, and pray, Lord Jesus, that you, God, would continue, Lord God, just to honor our tithes and our offering. Continue to rebuke the devourer for our sake. And we thank you, Lord, for our new church, new school that's coming forth from our giving. We thank you for it already in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you all so much. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God for just bringing us through another week. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Just once more. I want to just read a scripture for you tonight. And I'll just ask that everyone just stand with me as we read this one scripture. And then we'll have our seats. Luke 9, and Luke chapter 9. Thank the Lord. Let's start at verse 57 in Luke chapter 9. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Let's just breathe a word of prayer over the word that we've read. Father, we thank you for the ability to read the word of God, but we know it takes the Holy Spirit to bring understanding to what we've read. So we trust, Lord Jesus, that you would just take complete control of this portion of the service, and that you would just reveal yourself to us in only way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll just use for a title tonight, Don't Look Back. Amen. Don't Look Back. Just see there from that particular scripture in Luke where Jesus is giving this parable, and it probably seems like a really, really mean thing for, first of all, Jesus to kind of tell somebody, let the dead bury the dead. Man went to go bury his father, and Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. This other one where a man went to go bid somebody farewell, he said, I follow you, but, you know, I'll first let me bid them farewell. Now, I think in both of these situations, what we need to kind of learn is there's a potential that if this man goes back to bury his father, or this other man goes to bid those that's in his house farewell, there's a potential that they could get wrapped up in some things, right? And what Jesus, he's seeing something much deeper than what they're seeing. Oftentimes, we get wrapped up in emotional stuff. Right. You think about, you know, somebody dying here, and it's just a very easy way to get wrapped up into emotional things. And this man that wants to bid people farewell, you know, if you think back in the scripture, I remember, you know, back in Judges where this man was, you know, this priest that had a wife, and he should have left at a certain time. Right. But he didn't leave at the time that he was supposed to leave. He just kept staying. And when he stayed, he left at the wrong time of day, ended up in the wrong city. And when he got to that city, his wife, some bad things ended up happening to her in that city. And so sometimes when God is calling you out of something, you got to go when God say go. Amen. You can't stick around. You can't hang around. You can't do those things because what happens is that you're going to eventually get caught up in the stuff that you're hanging around with. All right. So Jesus, when he says this, he says, no man that having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So once you make a determination that I'm going to go all the way with God, then go all the way with God. Don't look back. Don't turn back. Don't do any of those things. Keep going all the way with God. While we were in South Carolina, like I was telling you all, the theme of the meeting kept being about Lot's wife, you know. And as I was just really meditating on that, I kind of felt that, you know, it might be beneficial for us maybe just to deal a little bit with her tonight, you know, just a little bit. And I have to be honest, on Tuesday, I was so tired that I was already looking ahead of Friday, and I said, we might as well just cancel the service on Friday because I'm too tired. I might as well just get some rest. And then we got here on Wednesday, I was rebuked by the quote that I read. You know, where Brother Branham said, you know, that's what our flesh wars with our spirit. And our flesh is constantly saying, you're too tired to do this, you're too tired to do that. Don't go out tonight. It'll be another time. We got to overcome the flesh in this hour. See, we got to bring the flesh under subjection of the spirit man. And I think that's critical, you know, if we're going to be successful. Here's a thought that Brother Smiley was bringing to us. And I want to just kind of talk a little bit about this. But and I won't read this quote. I'll just tell you where it's coming from, but I won't read this particular one. I just want to do a little part. It's coming out of hearing, recognizing, and acting on the word of God. Brother Branham made a comment about Lot. It says, then we see another separation that was Abraham and Lot. They were brethren, but Lot was a carnal thinker. They were brethren, but Lot was a carnal thinker. All right. And Brother Smiley began to just kind of work with that with us and how Lot just kept thinking carnally. Everything that he did was of a carnal nature. Right. When he looked at going into Sodom, it wasn't spiritual. He didn't pray about that. What he was just thinking about is, the good time that he could have down there. And I'm gonna read this next one. You know, you can get this one ready for me. I believe it might be the faith of Abraham. But he was just thinking about the good time that he could have down there. He was thinking about the type of person that he could become. Maybe it was easier living, amen, in Sodom than it was on the plains or in the desert, right? Maybe it was he felt like it was a better atmosphere. Maybe, if I could just put it this way, maybe it was an A-rated school, you know, in Sodom. And he thought that if he can get his kids to the A-rated school, then it would be all right. The problem with that thinking, oh, come on, somebody. You know, people choose neighborhoods based on the school that's in the neighborhood, huh? People choose all kind of things, amen, because of carnal thoughts. People choose churches carnally. Oh, God, help us here tonight. You know, it's nothing spiritual. A lot of times even, you know, parents might pray about the church. They'll go to a church that they know not going to condemn too much, right? Amen. It's not going to preach too hard against certain things. They'll go to that church, right? But a lot of times it's because of a carnal thought that people are approaching this. And with the carnal thought, oftentimes you can't see the real end result. Amen. What I would call a temporary satisfaction. It might be something good for this week or next week, but a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now, what will that thought today lead to 5 years from now? Amen. Lot couldn't see it that way. See, Lot never really prayed about it or anything. He just went with, you know, this city looked like a better city. Amen. They already got things going on down there. I think I want to dwell down there. I don't want to live in a tent. Amen. I'd rather go down into the city that's already established. Now, Brother Branham was saying some things here. Amen. Where when Lot looked at that, all right, when he looked at that, the thing that he didn't see, and I like the way Brother Smiley, you know, brought this out up there. The thing that he didn't see that, let's read this out of Faith of Abraham. Look at this. He says, and then when Lot looked up, began to look over towards the Jordan Plains, he seen they were well watered. There was a big city there, Sodom, Gomorrah, many of the cities, plenty grass, a possibility of making him a few dollars. See, that, oh, my God. I'll just talk a little bit tonight. You know, even the jobs that people take, right, it's because of carnal thinking.
Amen. The possibility of how much money I can make on this job, no matter if I have to push God to the side or not. Right? And we don't realize that job taking you further and further away from God, that carnal thinking going to get you in some serious trouble someday. Amen, church. See? Amen. God knows that we need work. God know that we need money to pay our bills. I mean, he was so concerned about the disciples paying bills that he sent them fishing. Right? I mean, God understands those things, but it's up to us to put God first in everything that we do. Lord, I want to be in church. And anytime the church goes somewhere, I want to be able to go. There are jobs that God can give you that will allow you to be able to do those things. If you put God first, he will bless you abundantly. Amen. But don't approach things with carnal thinking. I just need to get this bill paid. I don't care nothing about what it's going to do with my spiritual, amen, my spiritual walk. I just need to get this bill paid. Carnal thinking. Oh, God, help us here. See, he goes on and says, possibility of making him a few dollars. He chose that. That's a way many a lot did. A few dollars. And that's all it is, a few dollars. Right now you get the money, it come in one hand and go right out the other hand. I mean, you celebrate how much money you made, but you cry over how much money went out. Amen. Once it come in, you happy. But when you see it go out, you cry. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. You look at the end of the year, oh, my God. It's one of the worst feelings you could ever have. At the end of the year, you look at your tax statement and say, you made so much money. You look at your bank account and say, well, where did that money go? If I made that much, where is it? See? Amen. I mean, that's why we shouldn't even put our faith in the money. Put your faith in God. He's able to provide, right? Amen. He will provide. Look at, let's go on. It says, that's the way many a lot did, a few dollars. Now, this is important to me. The reason that it's important, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And Luke 17. So when we see a word like that spoken in Scripture, then evidently, there are going to be people with the same attitude that Lot had. Oh, my. There are going to be people with the same attitude that Lot's wife had, right? There's going to be people that have the same attitude that the Sodomites had. We're going to see all these conditions, and it's real easy for us to kind of focus on the Sodomites. But look at Lot and look at Lot's wife. Amen. All right, let's go on. So that's the way a many a lot did, a few dollars. When he was looking at the well-watered plains, he didn't see his wife turn into a pillar of salt. He couldn't see that. He didn't see the fire that was going to destroy the city and part of his children. Right? He didn't see the disgrace that his daughters was going to do because raising them up in a bunch of worldliness. Ooh, Jesus. See, he didn't see the disgrace that his daughters was going to do because of raising them up in a bunch of worldliness like they were raised in. The environment has a lot to do with a person. Right? Amen. We can't put our kids in any and every environment. Oh, it ain't nothing but the truth. We might as well just tell it like it is. You can't send your kids to everybody's house. They can't go. Environment has a lot to do with it. Amen. I mean, me and my wife, I guess you probably call us strict. People call us strict. But my daughter's into the college, you know, this year. My youngest daughter, she's in college. Now, we can't hide our kids from, you know, what's going on out there in the world, right? We can't hide them. They got to go out there, and they're going to experience these things. But, you know, she go to college. Amen. I drop her off. I know what time she get out of class. I go pick her up. Right? The reason being because if I let her hang out at the college, she might get involved in something. The atmosphere is not right at the college. Oh, my God. Amen. So I got to get in my car and go get her. Amen. I might as well just tell you like this. You can't get involved with all the extracurricular activities at school. Go there, get your education, and get out of there. Huh? You can't be in every club. You can't do that because those clubs trying to pull you into areas that you really shouldn't be in. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I mean, here he said he didn't see the disgrace that his daughters was going to do because of raising them up in a bunch of worldliness, like they were raised in. I'm gonna tell you, living in this world that we live in, we get desensitized to the Word of God. We get desensitized to truth. Amen. Things that God's Word say, we don't even know what God's Word say because we don't read it ourselves. See? Amen. But I guarantee you start getting into this Word, you'll see how certain things, they just a complete, it's a complete opposite. And when you see that, you got to run for your life. Amen. Listen, he says, that's what you look at today, friends. It depends on what you're looking at. As I taught the other night, we look at the unseen, we look at God's promise, and call anything contrary to it as though it was not. That's Abraham's seed. Now, we were, I was working with, I was telling you as we were going up to South Carolina before I went up, and I didn't know, and I come here a few weeks ago, and I preached the message, Rewarding the Overcomer. And that day, and I preached that was August 25th. And as I was preaching, amen, I knew that the scripture that I was looking at in the book of Joshua, Joshua receiving, amen, the city of Timnath-Serah. And months ago, I looked that up, and I said, Timnath-Serah of the morning star. I said, man, Joshua received the morning star. So that ties right into, the seven promises for the overcomers in the book of Revelation, because one of those ages received the morning star, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, man, this is beautiful. And that one scripture caused me to go through the whole journey through the book of Joshua. Now, when I come out and I preach, amen, I had no idea. The day that I was preaching, Rewarding the Overcomer, I had no idea that Brother Branham 50 years ago had preached How Can I Overcome on that same day. I was up here reading quotes from How Can I Overcome, but not putting the dates together. See, but God allowed me when I went up to South Carolina to say, now take a look at that again. And when I went back and I looked, I said, man, that's just a confirmation that this is what God wants me to preach up here in South Carolina. And but as I went back and I began to listen to that message on How Can I Overcome, I started writing. I was listening in the car, I started writing down. Brother Branham say, three overcomers in the days of Lot. I said, wow, Brother Branham calling overcomers in the days of Lot. Now, I mean, I don't know if I'd call Lot an overcomer. But that's what Brother Branham called. And the reason that he called them overcomers is because they actually escaped the judgment. See? Amen. They made it out. They escaped the judgment. And so they overcame in that day. I said, my. I never looked at it like that. But as he was talking about that, he was talking about how Lot's wife did not overcome. And he made some comments there about Lot's wife. He said she took her last big long look. Now, Lot didn't catch. He didn't understand that his wife would get so caught up in the things that was going on in Sodom that when it was time to come out of Sodom, she was too tied in to be able to come out. Amen. That's why she had to take a last look. It was something in her heart that was drawing up that. She didn't want to give up the things that she was getting down there in Sodom. Oh, God help us. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of us going to get caught in situations like this where, amen, if we approach things with a carnal thought, amen, we're going to get wrapped up and tied up with some stuff. And as God is trying to pull us out, we're going to take that last long look. That's why the scriptures say, remember Lot's wife. When God is telling you to let it go, you better let it go. Don't hold on to nothing that the world has got to offer. I'm going to read something for you here tonight, because, Lot's wife is, we see the spirit that was on her, and we kind of think, well, that never happened to us. It's happening right now to people. That's why God sent just about every minister up there, kept dealing with Lot's wife. Now, I want to read something that I heard out of that message, How Can I Overcome? And I'm give me paragraph 145 in this message. Oh, my. Brother Branham was talking about she started out, and he was saying Lot's wife, she came out like she came into the message. She had the message. She even received the messengers that came to her, had them in her house. But she still didn't have it in her heart. It's one thing to have it in your house. Come on now. It's one thing to have the tapes in your house. It's another thing to have the CDs in your house. Another thing to have the Bible in your house. to have all the books in your house, right? But we need to know if it's in your heart. Hallelujah. See, it's one thing to have it in your house, but it's a whole other thing to have it in your heart. All right? Amen. And she had it. She had all of this in her house, but she still had a desire for some of the things of the world. And because of that desire that she had for the things of the world, God crystallized her. God made her a memorial, a standing memorial today that people can see, because that lady turned and looked back at the wrong time. Oh, my. Hallelujah. One day we're going to cross the line, church. Amen. Let me just keep working here. I just want to share this paragraph. Brother Branham said this in paragraph 145 of How Can I Overcome. He says, we're sometimes tempted to go back. See, Lot's wife was tempted to go back, and she turned back in her heart, as well as she turned and crystallized right there. But we're tempted also to go back. Many of you tempted to go back to the denominations. Go back and take up, because all the world say, what denomination you belong to? And I heard somebody just ask me that. People said, what type of church you belong to? What's the denomination? I don't even know what type of church this is. I say, we're non-denominational, you know. But that's just another name nowadays. You see, non-denomination is still a denomination in some aspects, all right? Many of you attempted to go back to the denomination. Go back and take up, because all the world say, what denomination you belong to, what church you affiliated with. We're tempted to do that. All of us are. Our sisters are tempted to go back. Go back and join up with some of the rest of the churches, with some of the assemblies or churches of God, or some of them still be Pentecostal. Let your hair cut off, all right? And dress just about any way you want to. Oh, my goodness. Let me work with this a little bit. It says, see, you're tempted to do that. Go back and be popular with this wicked generation that we're living with, when this is the major sin of our days. It is the major sin among our people, worldliness. All right? As the Bible said, the Laodicean age was, she's worldly. Rich, have need of nothing, don't know that she's naked, miserable, wretched, and blind. That's the sin of our day. When you hear the word of God, call out against it, then you take the other route. You're unpopular with the world. You're tempted to go back. Now, when Brother Branham said worldliness was a sin of our day, that just really, really struck my heart. Worldliness is the sin of our day. Now, and I could ask y'all right now, I'm sure y'all would be able to help me preach. What are some of the things that we see coming back into the church that used to be absolutely wrong? Pants, somebody say pants, yeah. Anything else? Praise dancing, okay. Anything else? Drinking, smoking, makeup, earrings, anything else? High heels, huh? Music of the world, huh? Worldliness is the sin of our day. Now, you know, we can look at the denominational churches and we can see all these things that's coming there into the church. And it used to be, I know in my day, pants, sisters wearing pants, that wasn't even thought of. Wasn't even thought of, right? I mean, I remember in my day, and see, y'all, some of y'all, I was thinking about this week. Our kids don't know nothing about having to go to choir rehearsal, you know, every Saturday at 4 o'clock. I mean, y'all have rehearsal every once in a while, you know, type stuff. But we had it every Saturday, 4 o'clock. You had to be at rehearsal if you want to sing on Sunday, right? I mean, it was tough, you know, for us. And I remember it was the way that they did it. I mean, you had those ladies that would want to go to the choir rehearsal, but before they went to choir rehearsal, they were out in the mall. They be out in the mall in their pants, walking through the mall doing their shopping. They look at their watch. I got to get out in the mall. I got to get back home. I got to change before I go to church. Right? That's the way it used to be. I'm talking about when I was a little lad. Right? And they did that back in those days. So I know that, you know, what has come to now, and it's got here really, really fast. You know, when you see some of the stuff that people allow to go to church now, that's denomination. That's denomination. In the message, stuff coming back in. The message, the pure word of the hour, stuff is coming into the church that we know is absolutely wrong. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm seeing sisters with toenail polish on, fingernail polish on. Now, I'm going to tell you, these things start somewhere. Amen. I mean, you don't just go from just bare toes to all this polish on. It don't start like that. It start with these French manicures. Come on now. Amen. The white tips. That's what it start with, a little white tip. And then from a white tip, you got the whole foot painted. Huh? The whole toe is painted and the hand is painted after you get the white tip. It always starts somewhere. Huh? Amen. I mean, I'm just putting on a little something here just to kind of cover this blemish in my face. Huh? I just want to cover it. Before you know it, they got all kind of stuff all over their face and they was trying to cover a blemish. Amen. You got that blemish? Maybe God wanted you to have that blemish. Huh? Oh, praise the Lord, somebody. That might keep certain people away from you. That blemish might keep certain people off your back. Huh? God know why he put that there. Amen. God know your speed. Right? And your speed might run from you because of the blemish. You want them to run from you. Amen, church. Hallelujah. But, you know, I mean, we're seeing these things come back. And I'm just dealing with this a little bit tonight because I don't want music. The worldly music coming to the church, right? And I was sitting there as Brother Smiley was preaching up there in South Carolina. I just began to kind of dwell on this. You know, like, Lord, what is the, when you say worldliness is the sin of this day, well, what's the worldly things that's coming back, right? One of them was I thought the music of the world. Another one, there's brothers and sisters that struggle, right? The brothers, the short pants is just killing me. Killing me. And I mean, brothers, just no shame. Oh, come on. It used to be a time, and Lord, forgive me. I'll be the first one to admit that I struggled with that when I was a young man. I struggled with short pants. And the way that what we would do is late at night we'd go play basketball. And we in a gym, say, ain't nothing but men out here, so we can wear our shorts because it's only men around, right? And you get the devil gets you going there, and before you know it, here comes a young lady, and you out there with your shorts on, right? And what I had to realize, like, you know, God, forgive me, I shouldn't even be out here. Let me stop compromising with the devil and just say, no, I'm not wearing these shorts. I'm going somewhere if I can get there. I'm not gonna wear these shorts. I'm not gonna do this. I'm gonna stay with the Word of God. And you know, I finally said, you know what? I'm gonna just have to be the long pants guy. You know, everybody, why are you always wearing long pants? That's just who I'm going to have to be because I can't wear these shorts. You know, and the other thing is, if you really can't take being called a long pants guy, don't go play basketball. Huh? Don't go play. Nobody won't call you that if you don't go out there like that. Right? But if you can't stand up to it, don't go out there. Right? But, you know, I'm seeing the brothers now just anytime, whether it's a picnic, playing the basketball after we finish playing basketball, coming amongst the sisters, still in shorts? Huh? I mean, I'm picking somebody up and I got my shorts on. What is this? All of this is coming back into the church. These are things that used to get preached to get hard. We got to pick it back up again. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A message like this, when you got new people coming to church, it's hard to kind of go into areas like this. But the reason I kind of chose to say these things tonight is because if I can get the core group straightened out, then I can get everybody else straightened out. Because you all are the examples to everybody else. Amen. But I mean, the worldliness is creeping back into the church. Pants sagging. Brothers struggling with that. I mean, you know, that's a spear from hell to come in like that. I mean, you can just even, they have on a shirt covering it, but you can still see their pants is sagging. In the house of God. Lord, they need to be ashamed of themselves. Somebody got to say these things, right? Carnal relationships happening right inside the church. And nobody say nothing. That is wrong. You should not be, amen, yoked up with somebody that's not a believer. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. That is not acceptable. Amen, church. Hallelujah. I heard Brother Smiley say it's hard for me to celebrate somebody going out into the world and then bringing somebody back. Now, I know some people have some very unique situations, and it's some testimonies that God did do some, but I don't think everybody should practice that. Especially when you got all these people sitting right here in front of you that you can choose from. And you know these people been holding on all their life for a good husband or a good wife. And you go, come on now. Lord, help us, Jesus. But this is the worldliness that's coming back into the church. Amen, church. I might as well just say these things. Because if we say it now, maybe somebody will take heed and won't get involved in this type of stuff. Because it becomes acceptable. It's not acceptable. I don't want all my sisters going out to the world trying to find some brother to bring back to the church. I don't want that. I don't bring them. You know, you get a lemon, then you want us to make lemonade. It ain't going to work that way. Amen. You get a lemon, you get a lemon. That's bottom line. Just help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I'm just being honest. Sisters have the same problem going out into the world. They struggle with the music. Other big things is the tight clothing. That's worldly. Now, I might as well. Can I just talk to y'all tonight? Forget about preaching. Just talk to you. All right? But it used to be a time you can tell the difference between a sanctified person and and some prostitute. You could tell. Prostitute, the way that they was dressed, my goodness. You know, that lady right there ain't up to no good. Unfortunately, now the dressing that the sisters are putting on make them look like prostitutes. They don't look no different than the prostitutes. It's the truth. I mean, too tight, too short, too this, too that, splits up the yin-yang. Huh? I mean, we can't, church, that is worldliness coming back into the church. Worldliness. The sin of our day is worldliness. Brother Branham said it. See? Look at here. Exposing the flesh. Huh? Low-cut blouses. No slips. No slips. I mean, what you think? You walk out into the sun with that, and you got white on. No slip. White. I mean, something that's just sheer. Anybody can see through it. Huh? I mean, this is worldliness that's coming back into the church. Right? I mean, and you walk out there, it's like, oh, Lord, just, brothers, please turn. Everybody turn. Don't look. It's a shame we got to come to church and be that way. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth, church. I'm telling you, this is the type of stuff that Lot's wife got involved with. All right? And I'm going to read something for you in a little bit where Lot's wife, she got involved in worldliness. So when I was telling you, when you look at what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. You got to look at everything. You got to look at Lot and the way that he was approaching things. You got to look at Lot's wife and the way that she was approaching things. And then when you get that, you got some kids that's impacted by these bad decisions. Oh, hallelujah. Kid, and when they get impacted, them kids not built to be able to make grown-up decisions. Huh? Look at Lot's daughters. They had no clue, all right, what God had planned. They had no idea what was going to be the next step. All they could think about is that we ain't going to have no kids. And since we ain't going to have no kids, let's help God out. Huh? This is what happens when kids get into a situation where they're not strong enough to be able to make grown-up decisions. Let's help God out. Let's help God out. What we gonna do is get our daddy drunk. Now, what was they running with? Now, Brother Branham called them overcomers. Now, I'm gonna call them overcomers too. But what did they have in their bag as they left Sodom? What type of stuff were they bringing with them? Come on, y'all. What were they bringing with them that they had something to get daddy drunk? Not just one night, but two nights. Huh? Here, let's get daddy drunk. And what we're going to do is, you know, tonight I'm going to get with daddy. And then tomorrow night you're going to get with daddy. That kind of thinking. And and I just said something that's filth. But it's happening in the world today.
It is happening in the world today. And I mean, we can try to dodge these things, but God didn't put it in the Bible just for it to be there. These spirits are still here today. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me just go into these areas. Sister, you still got to dress right around the house. You got, if you got a brother in that house, or even your daddy, you cannot dress any way around. I don't care if it is. It's bedtime. Still put some clothes on. Don't cover yourself up. Don't dress like that. Brother, don't be walking around like that. Amen. Put some clothes on. I know it's your house, but still put some clothes on in your house. God live in your house, and he don't want to see all that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, if people get lax in these areas and stuff happen in people's houses, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Makeup coming back into the church. Oh, God, that is wrong. That's wrong. Sister Enos sent out something about the history of makeup and where it come from. Man, that was a pretty good article that she put out there on Google Plus. And I was reading it, and they was talking about the origin of makeup. Who were some of the first people to ever wear this? Say, this has been around for years. This didn't just happen. They say, well, they traced it back to the Egyptians. Egyptians with makeup? Egypt represent the world. So if they're getting it from the Egyptians, they're getting it from the world. That's how worldliness is coming back into the church. Oh, my God. All right. Cutting hair. Oh, yeah, that used to be wrong. It still is. Cutting hair is still wrong. Trimming hair is still wrong. Trimming is cutting. Just the edge. That's cutting. That's cutting. Whether you use your scissors or you let the people that you go to use their scissors, it's still cutting. Huh? Or you go to one of your cousin's house and, well, just take a little bit. You are cutting. And God say that's wrong. Bottom line, I'm going to tell you, if you start compromising in one little area, the devil going to run you over in some other areas. So you better stand with the word of God. God says wrong, then it's wrong. Amen. Listen, I am glad that Lot's daughters had enough sense that when they realized mama wasn't running with them no more, they could keep running. Someday you may realize that your friends ain't running with you no more, but you're going to have to keep pressing on. Look at this. Time-tested memorials. Look at what Brother Branham said. Time-tested memorials of God. I like I say, these things got to be said, and I think God was really just kind of trying to speak to our hearts up there. You know, when everybody kept dealing with Lot's wife, I said, man, we got to just kind of talk about this just for a little bit. And if we can just get the core group to get right, then everybody else going to come along. But if you compromising, then they're going to compromise. And Brother Smiley hit it. I like that, he was talking about no slips. And, you know, we talk about them things. And most of the sisters around here, we have the sewing parties. You can tell when y'all done sewed a split up. You can look to see that that's been sewed up. Can you add a little piece of something else there? God bless you. God bless you for that. I appreciate being able to see my sisters like that, right? Amen. For the most part, most of the sisters are doing pretty good. You know, another big thing, jewelry. Now, like I told you all, I got the quotes, all right? There's two quotes. Brother Branham did say that it was okay for a man to buy his wife a pearl necklace or a little necklace. Brother Branham also said that he was going to buy, that he not only he bought, but he was giving his daughter a little cross necklace. Brother Branham said that. But he also said that when you come looking like you just come out the 10-cent store, there's something wrong with that. So when you got all this gaudy stuff on, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. All right? And that's the thing. Well, some of us don't know how to just stop it. Man, we got to just keep pushing it a little further, go a little further. We got to stop because worldliness is coming into the church. We don't want that. And what happens is that because you keep pushing it, then it gets to the point, no necklace. Right? Because you don't know how to control it. And if you have a problem controlling it, maybe you shouldn't be wearing it. Amen. If you really have a problem in that area, don't wear it. Don't let the devil get any victory in your life. Amen. All right. Let's keep going. Brother Branham said this, but Miss Lot, she became very worldly. Now, I like what he's saying here. She didn't start out that way. She became. Huh? Same thing with us. We become worldly. Right? We don't start. We start out innocent. But what happens? What changes in our life that causes us to become worldly? Huh? See? It says, she became worldly and taken up with the things of the world. And what a lesson that is to us today, that we can become too worldly minded. Oh, I let me, this other one that Brother Smiley hit before I lose my thought on this. Yes, it is very important. Me and Brother Smiley was sitting in the service there listening to Brother Donnie Reagan preach. And, you know, the church was packed. So we were sitting on the side. And sitting on the side, you know, you had certain sisters that they would stand up. And when they stand up, you know, you better stand up too. Right? Because you just see this sister in your face. Right? So what Brother Smiley was saying is that there was this one sister that would stand up. And every time she'd stand up, she'd be pulling. See? She'd pulling. Because she don't have a girdle on. So you don't have a girdle. And like I said, girdles are not for people that's, you know, of a certain size. Girdles for everybody. So that your clothes don't cling to you like that. Right? It really helps. And when people dancing in the spirit and all that, it'll help you. It'll help you. Amen, church. And some people really, really, you know, if some of the sisters of a different size, it becomes contagious, right? If you wear it, then somebody else, and like so you might say, I don't really need it. Everybody can use it. All the sisters can use it. But then there's some sisters that really, really, right? I'm just being honest with you. And if you had enough over here doing this, that it encouraged them to do something. All right, now, I'm going to just leave it alone because I know y'all don't want me preaching about that. But it's a truth in the high. You ain't got to stand up and be... Amen, church. Hallelujah. Even on your job, you ain't got to do it. Not just at church, but on your job. You before other people. You don't want to be like that. So, come on now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's some men. They have men girdles, too. They do. They do have them. They do have them. And there's, you know, so, praise the Lord. It's help. That's all I'm saying. There is help. You ain't got to be looking like that. All right. Glory to God. Let me keep on going on. Amen. 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 It ain't nothing but the truth. There's some simple things that take people out of the spirit real quick, you know. And if we just kind of practice, glory to God, we'd be all right. Let me read. What a lesson it is to us today that we can become too worldly minded. And I'm quite sure today that the church and whole is becoming too worldly minded. The church in whole. So I'm going to tell y'all something. I know it's people that will not come to this church because of this type of preaching. It's people that won't go to Okeechobee because of this type of preaching. But special meeting? Special meeting? Where y'all going to be? South Carolina. I'm coming. They'll be up there. Right? They'll be all up in South Carolina, North Carolina. Wherever if we go to Indiana, they'll be in Indiana. But when we get back to Florida, amen. Who preaching? No, we don't want to hear that. I can imagine Lot's wife being the same way. She selected her preachers. All right, all right. Come on now. See, she selected them, but God had a word to get to her anyway. And he sent two preachers right to her house. Amen. All right, let's keep going. I'm quite sure today that the church in whole is becoming too worldly-minded. Now, maybe Miss Lott didn't mean to do that when she went down there. She thought, I'll just be sociable. It's all right to be sociable, but don't take up the habits of the world. See, that's why I was telling y'all, even in school, you can't be a part of every club. Well, just you know, they just kind of, this is my passion. I'm just following my passion. You better watch it. Your devil will get it. Anoint your passion and have you connected with people that you never thought you'd be connected with. Amen. I'm going right back, sister. I'm just making these comments as I go. Watch what he say. It's all right to be sociable, but don't take up the habits of the world. When you go, because you're going to have to go. But when you go, go like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. How did they go? They purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves no matter what come or went. When I go to school, when I go to college, I'm purposing in my heart, I am not defiling myself. Huh? I'm in whatever school I'm in, I will not defile myself. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and Daniel could stand in Babylon. You can stand today in Laodicea. Oh, hallelujah. Church, I don't care where you at. Purpose in your heart. I'm not going to be like the rest of them. See, Lot's wife wanted to be sociable. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, they got criticized for being outcasts. But God proved himself on their behalf because of that. They purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves, no matter what come or went, no matter what the rest of the church backslid, what happened. They purposed in their heart, and they are a memorial today. We still talk about their decisions to serve God, amen, because of what they did. Now other people are challenged to do the exact same thing, amen. Thank God for some positive memorials. I'm going to read one last quote, and let me read two. This one's coming out of Jehovah Jireh. It's coming out of Jehovah Jireh. Oh my, I got, I just feel like God wants us to just really hear this. Amen. Some of us probably never heard the quote, some makeup and things like that. Or maybe we forgot them. So sometimes you got to reread them. Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham, said this. Could you go out here and tell a pig that he's wrong eating slop? He'll tell you, attend to your own business. But it would have to take something that could change his nature. See, this is what happened. You can't tell people that they're wrong. See, you got people coming to church for the first time. They never heard these things. Like I said, I can't take a Sunday morning just be busting through like this. People come and never come back again. You know, you give them a little time. But if they, what they do is they watch the other people in church. I've been watching a sister. I've been watching her just become. She watching everybody else. I see her, you know, and I mean, when they first come, a certain way that they dress, but then they start watching how the other sisters dress. Next thing you know, they're changing the way that they dress. Amen. God, slowly but surely, be reeling them in. Amen. Oh, my God. Listen. It says this. See, I don't want the newcomers to make you change what you're doing. I need the newcomers to change what they're doing. Right? But I don't need you changing. Well, Brother Jack, I am saying something. I'm trying to show some grace, but also trying to pinpoint some devils. Amen. It's a difficult job I have here. Amen. It's very easy to come and just blast these things. And you know, some of y'all that's done heard it all your life, it don't bother you. But a person that never heard it, just a few weeks ago, I was preaching. I said something about the make-believe and the unbeliever. And I got to, see, God can always have it set up just right. You know, and when I got to that make-believe and unbeliever, saying the make-believer would destroy my ministry. You know, think that I agree with things that I don't agree with, and they'll do this and they'll do that. I say don't. The Bible say don't do it. They still do. Those are make believers. I said that. I saw a sister just draw up. Now I'm gonna tell you something. There's a man dropped dead in Brother Branham's meetings because he took offense to the Word of God. And a lot of these people don't know these things, right? They don't know. And that's why it's like, I mean, as a pastor, I got to be very careful as to how I handle the people, right? Because here I say something I can't think of the scripture right now, but Father, don't provoke your children to wrath. Right, I'm like the spiritual father here in the church. I can provoke people to wrath by the things that I say. I got to be careful as to how I deliver that. Right, but I saw a person draw up and say, now you know they don't realize, but they draw up like that at the wrong time, they could drop dead, and we'd be praying somebody back to life. Right, they don't understand. It happened in Brother Branham's meetings with Brother Wade. He dropped dead because he drew back at something that was said. And Brother Branham, all Brother Branham said, the brother got a complex. He said, I ain't got no complex. Just something that simple. He wasn't even talking about sin in the man's life. Just a complex. He drew back, dropped dead. They had to pray for him, and God raised him back up, you know. But we got to be careful, you know, as to how we come in here. That's why I want to make sure all y'all that's here, been around here all these years, don't let this stuff come back into the church. And when you see it, you ought to be saying something about it. Don't wait for me to come up here in the pulpit. Y'all older sisters ought to be saying something to the younger sisters. Sister, no, that ain't right. Amen. Hallelujah. That ain't right, sister. And if y'all see somebody, Lord Jesus. Well, if this is the old days, if somebody come in here with no slip on and you can see right through it, cheats. Just to put that around you. And please, if you don't mind, walk out the church, amen, with that around you. And if it happened one time, a person be so embarrassed, I guarantee they come back with a slip. Now, no, let me also say this about slips. Your slip do have to be long enough. Right, yeah, thank you. If you want it to be effective, it need to be long enough, right? And if your slip is too long for your skirt, that means your skirt is too short. Y'all get that? If your slip is too long for your skirt, that means your skirt is too short. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Brothers, please don't wear white pants. Is the truth any high? Right? People don't need to. If I can say that to a sister, we don't want to see her undergarments. We don't want to see the brother's undergarments either. Ain't nothing but the truth, church. Amen. Right? Don't wear things that's going to be. It don't even have to be white pants. Some of these linen suits. Right? You can see right through this stuff. Church, we got to go back to holiness. Not worldliness. Holiness. That's what God called us to. Amen. All right. Let me keep going. But it would have to take something that could change his nature to make him realize that he's wrong. Something has to happen to the pig first. That's the reason that so-called Christians many times wallow in mud. Back in sin. Because you could wash a pig and paint their fingernails, put on lip manicure. Okay, here he says, wash a pig, paint their fingernails. Talk about fingernail polish. All right. Lipstick. Okay, that's form of makeup. All right. What does Brother Branham say? That's wrong. That's wrong. Well, I ain't never seen it. Could you show me where the prophet said, you know, where this stuff is wrong? There it is, right there. That's wrong. Lip manicure, huh? Paint on the fingernails. And now, just because he didn't put toenails in there, I think we ought to be able to read between the lines and know that that's wrong. And it's a shame. There used to be a time people would even hide their painted toenails. Now they come to church with it. Sandals on, painted toenails, walking into the house of God. It's a shame before God. Ain't nothing but a shame. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth anyhow. And I saw it when I went up there to South Carolina. I have to be honest, I was absolutely embarrassed. Embarrassed by saints from South Florida coming up there like that. We know we teach better than that down here. Amen. But that's why our song didn't turn out that well. And God can't anoint mess. I'm going to just be honest with y'all. God cannot anoint that type of stuff. And it's going to show up. We got so much talent down here, we should be able to do a lot for the kingdom of God. But because of worldliness, God ain't going to use us. God ain't going to use us. Amen. When we get this worldliness out, then God can use us. Amen. Number the truth, we get it out, God going to use us. Amen. God will do great things in South Florida if we can get the worldliness out of the church. Amen. And look, let me tell you like this. If spirit and truth can be an example, then the other churches will follow. Amen. Other churches will follow. Bible truth be an example, other churches will follow. If you get enough churches doing the right thing, the people that's doing the wrong thing will eventually come on this side. We are message believers. We're not denominational believers. We believe the message. We believe God sent a prophet. We believe every word that he said. And the word of God is not just on tapes, on books, but the word of God is in our hearts, manifests itself on the outside. Amen. I mean, you know, sir, could you tell me how to get to the West Revival? Sir, could you tell me a little bit about this message? You looking at the West Revival. You looking at the message. Amen. You want to know about the message? Look at my life. You see the message. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. It's time. We got to say it. We got to stop worldliness in its tracks. Don't let it come and take over the message of the hour. Listen, you could wash a pig and paint their fingernails, put on lip manicure. That's wrong. Ever what it is. Lip rogue. Rouge. Okay. Lip rouge, isn't it? Or something. I get that all that stuff mixed up. I do too, Brother Branham. You know what it is, though. Painted on eyebrows and all kind of stuff. Come on, y'all. Where we get this from? Amen. You know what it is, though. You put the old sow on some lip rouge, you know, do all the works to it, she'll go right straight to the wallow and wallow again. Why? She's a hog to begin with. The only way you'll ever make her any different is change her nature. That's the only way that a man, a woman, can ever live up with God is change their nature. Clean out. Die to the old man's sin. See, now that song come to y'all head, clean this house from the inside out. I don't know too much about that. That I was telling my daughter, see, that song, that sound like a confession. You better watch these songs. I'm telling you that. Man, that you done, what you done did, bro? That you come up with a song like that. Huh? Amen. Clean this house. And y'all just be running around from the inside out. Uh-huh. That's a confession. That's a confession, y'all. You don't come, people just, you, look, I done tried it. I can't sit down and just write songs. Jesus. I done tried it before. It don't work. But you go through a little experience. All of a sudden, stuff start coming up, and, ooh, let me put that down. Amen. All right. Look, people that the people that write about he'll make a way, that's because he done made a way. And people that write about cleaning his house from the inside out, it's because of something happened. Amen. All right. I'm just telling you. That's the only way that a man or woman can ever line up with God is change their nature, clean out, die to the old man's sin, and be reborn again by the Spirit of God. And that is, Christ is the Spirit of God. Christ is the Word. Then it witnesses with the Word. That's the only way we'll ever do it. Let's go on to this last quote that I want to read. The arrow of God's deliverance shot from a bow. I guess somebody was listening to that recently. That's fine. But Brother Branham made these comments, and I'm going to tell you now, as a whole, I don't see some stuff I do see in our church, But as a whole, from what I've seen in a lot of other churches, I don't see as much, right? But some of the things that I do see, we want to stop that. Because I don't want nobody to feel comfortable that I can come. Because I've seen people, that some people come in and they, and I mean, my God, message people. Tight as that tight stuff. Well, come on now, you know better than that. But they know they can't do it at another church, so they'll come walking up in here, right? And because I might not say anything, and they know you can't say anything, right? Because everybody else that's sitting there, because if I, you know, like the Bible tell you that you got to let the wheat and the tares grow together. You can't go pull the tares out, because if you try to pull the tares out, you're going to hurt the wheat. So, Tom, you got to let things just grow. Sit right there and grow. But then God will give you a service like this. Friday night, I know my core people are going to be here Friday night. So I can deal with these things, say these things, and then you'll take it. No, yeah, Brother Jack, now he preach against that. He preach against that. You know, you'll come in. Don't come. Now, what's going to happen? And the other thing that happened, you come, keep coming on a Sunday. Keep coming on a Sunday. Keep coming on a Sunday. One Sunday, bam, hit. Then I'm going to just keep on going, right? That's the way God do it. I don't got to come out here every Sunday and hit that. But one Sunday, wham! Okay, all right, move on. And then God don't see no change. No change. Okay. Wham! Hit you again. All right, just keep moving, you know. That's the way God do it. Sometimes I don't, and it don't be in my notes. It just come out. And when it come out, that's between you and God. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But sometimes I'm intentional. Like tonight, I am intentional because I felt that God was really trying to speak this to our hearts, and we need to just deal with Lot's wife. All right, we don't want to be like her. She got tied up in the things of the world. That's why she missed her chance of deliverance. We don't want to miss the rapture because we're so tied down in the things of this world. The arrow God's delivered shot from above. Brother Branham says, now, dear people, you here in Shreveport, let this be a warning to you. If you believe me to be God's servant, listen. The best thing for you to do around Life Tabernacle and everywhere else is keep an old-fashioned prayer meeting going. Oh, my. I like that. Say the best thing you can do around Life Tabernacle and everywhere else is keep an old-fashioned prayer meeting going and keep the unity of the Spirit. Keep looking up and watching for the coming of the Lord. Keep all the worldliness out of you. No matter how bad it hurts, circumcised by the Holy Ghost will cut away the worldly things. Now, I begin to see a lot of worldliness creeping into you. So now get that out. No matter how bad it is, Life Tabernacle, I'm talking to you. Now, you Baptist brethren, talk to your people over there the same way. But I begin to notice there's something different. It ain't the same Life Tabernacle I used to come to. And I want you to remember tonight, you keep that old-fashioned prayer meeting. Keep that old-fashioned Holy Spirit falling among you. Keep the world out. Seal Christ in. And you're letting down in prayer some way. Just remember, as you sow, you'll reap. Just remember that. You've got one of the best churches I ever walked into in my life. Of anywhere, on any continent. Now, I know you talk about Life Tabernacle. Just Brother Brandon didn't get a chance to come to Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. So I believe he's still saying that about us. Right? You got one of the best churches I ever walked into in my life of anywhere on any continent. Life Tabernacle is one of my favorites. It breaks my heart to see you letting the world reach into you the way you're doing. So don't do that no more. I like this. Snap out of it. Pray out of it. And let God come back and take over. Submit yourselves to God and get the old-fashioned blessing back again. And Shreveport, you dear, dear Southerners down here, who are the finest people I ever met, I don't say that to compromise with you. I say it because I love you. If you want to get some real good treatment, and real good old-fashioned hospitality, come to Louisiana. I mean that from my heart. And I tell you, don't let the world creep into you. Don't let the world get into your churches, brethren. Pray it out. Fast it out until God comes down and takes a hold. That's right.
keep the joy of the Lord amongst the saints. Keep them prayed up and guard every little place. If Noah seen a leak in his ark, he put some pitch in it. And so that's the best, that's about the best thing I know to keep the leak out, the world out, is to stop up the leak. Is the best thing that I know to do. Only one way to do it. That's prayer. Prayer stops the leak. Prayer changes things. I'm so glad that we have a prayer meeting going on 7 o'clock every Sunday morning. Sometimes on Friday night we get another prayer meeting going. We're going to keep that prayer going because prayer is what's going to stop these leaks. Amen, church. Hallelujah. I encourage you, don't look back. God done brought us out. Let's not go back. We don't want to be like Lot's wife. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we are, Lord, just very mindful of your spirit and how you were trying to speak to us there in South Carolina. Lord, as a whole, we see things happening just in the church, how worldliness, the sin of our day is just creeping back into the church. But God, we want to do all we can to keep it out. Your prophet has brought us the truth. We've been trying to hold to it with everything we have. Lord, any areas of our life where Satan might have got a little foothold, God, we pray that your spirit would drive them out. Help us to go back into prayer and to surrender and commit those areas of our life to you, God, that you might get the glory and the honor out of the lives that we would live. We want to be ready, Jesus. We want to be right. We want to be holy. Lord, we don't want to approach things with a carnal thought. But Lord, we want to be spiritual. Lord, Satan is going to trip some people up in this hour. For you told us, you warned us, you said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. If we can just look at Lot's life, we can look at Lot's children, we can look at Lot's wife, we can see their conditions, Lord, and realize that we don't want to be anything like that. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to take heed to the word. Don't let us get offended by it. If it hurts, God is good. It's like medicine that don't taste well going down, but it always does the body good. So, Lord, help us to receive it. And let change take place starting tonight. God, in every heart, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Sunday, we had a really wonderful service with Brother Bartley, and the altar call that took place after the message was preached. I believe God started something here. Amen. Something tremendous took place, and I just want to encourage the church, let's go forward in what God is doing. Amen. Let's don't look back. Don't turn back in any way. Just keep pressing forward. God has called us to higher heights and deeper depths in Him, and we got to be willing to go, church. If it means cutting the world off, then just cut the world off. I was in the car on my way to church, and I was listening to the radio tonight, and they were talking about this little situation that happened. Amen. With this man by the name of Craig James, he's an ex-football player. And retired from football, and now he's been an analyst for different sports stations and everything like that. And he was also running for office, a political office at one time. And while he was running for this office, some people asked him about homosexual unions. And he made the statement and said, God going to judge us all. He's going to judge me, and he's going to judge them. Everybody got to stand before God on their own. And said, I don't believe people are born that way. It's a choice that they make, and you got to stand before God. So let me go on and finish off my comments here. And he finished his comments. And this is something the man said, I don't know how long ago, but he just got a job with this new station. And when they heard that he had said that, they actually ended up firing him less than a week on the job. They fired him for something that he said years ago, right? And you know, I was thinking to myself, I said, as Christians, you know, the Christian community is trying to rally behind this man, and maybe to try to get his job back, because again, that's not tolerance, right? There's no tolerance if a Christian stands for what they believe. There's no tolerance for that. My thought was that, you know what, if y'all really want to take a stand, what they should do is they should boycott watching Fox Sports. Don't watch it. If you really want to take a stand, don't watch Fox Sports. Right? And I say now, if they bought into that, then eventually they wouldn't watch TV no more. All right? Die to television. That's a Fox Sports. Die to all of them. Don't watch ESPN either, right? Hey, man, if we can die to these things, I tell you, we're going to make some progress. Worldliness is coming back into the church. So, church, I tell you, we want to see God just move, and I want to encourage you, just continue to, amen, to press forward. No time to go back. Let's go forward. I would sing this song, but I don't know the words. I think who knows it? Andrew knows it. Come on, you can sing this for them. Amen. But this is a song written by Brother Nichols Church. Amen. Don't you look back? Keep your eyes moving forward, looking forward. Yeah, something like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have the Smileys with us tonight. Amen. Glory to God. That's all.
Don't you look back. Keep your eyes looking forward. Don't you look back. Keep your heart on His word. Don't you look back. Keep your mind on Jesus, and don't forget to remember that's why. Don't you look back, keep your eyes looking forward. Don't you look back. Keep your mind on His word. Don't you look back. Keep your heart on Jesus. And don't forget to remember that's why. Don't you look back. Keep your eyes looking forward. Don't you look back. Keep your heart on His work. Don't you look back. Keep your mind on Jesus. And don't forget to remember that's why. Don't you look back. Keep your eyes looking forward. Don't you look back. Keep your heart on His word. Don't you look back. Keep your mind on Jesus. And don't forget to to remember last why. And don't forget to remember last why. And don't forget to remember last why.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. God, let us receive this in our inner man. Don't let it be something, Lord, that just attacks our flesh, but help us to really catch what you're trying to say. Lord, we heard so many ministers deal with this subject while we were up there, and those that we didn't hear, we heard about the sermons. And God, you're trying to get a word to your people. You are coming soon, just as you were trying to get a word to Lot and his family that destruction was coming soon. Don't let us get so tied up in the things world. Don't let us have carnal thinking. Let us think spiritually. And God, just we pray that you just even give us wisdom on how to just, Lord, how to help the church prepare. God, there's newbies that'll come in and they've never heard these things before, but God, we just want to say it so that they can be helped, Lord Jesus. Not trying to offend anybody, but we want to help everybody. So God, give us wisdom. We pray, Lord, that you keep us until we're able to come back again on Sunday morning. We come for prayer. It's through prayer that we'll keep the devil out. We'll keep worldliness out. It's through prayer. So Lord, even though sometimes our prayers are quiet, but yet God, you're moving in the midst of those prayers. And we thank you, Lord, because we can see the results of it in the lives of the people. God, help us to stay focused. Bless our going out tonight as you bless our coming in. We trust, oh God, that you would just get all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers, we'll come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. We'll be back 7 o'clock on Sunday morning for our prayer, 9:30 for Sunday school, and 10:30 for our service. God bless you.